That song, "He is Lord," takes me back to my college days for some reason. I think it's because that was one of the songs we sung frequently as we met to have Bible study, like out during the week. Sometimes we wouldn't have an instrument with us, and that was one that you could sing a cappella pretty easy. And it was one that had a range so that even people like me could sing that, so I didn't have to struggle with the high notes or the low notes. But "He is Lord." What a good song. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 will be my text for the morning. As you recall, I've been preaching sermons on the basic doctrines of the Christian faith and how I contend that almost every major doctrine can be found in chapters 1 through 3 of Genesis. And I've been preaching through these chapters systematically. And as I come across a doctrine, then I make sure to bring that doctrine out, hopefully to not teach you that doctrine, because this crowd should know these basic doctrines, but to remind you of these doctrines and then to encourage you to not only believe them, but to apply them to your daily walk. And so this morning, the doctrine is the day of rest, as you'll see it mentioned in chapter 2. It's been called many things. It's been called the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word, which means rest or complete. It's also been called the Lord's day. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and think about the basic doctrine of the Lord's day. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and God had made." Now, I think we can draw three simple, obvious points from this text based on those three verses. So I think verse 1 reminds us of the completion of creation. And then verse 2 reminds us of God resting on the seventh day. And then verse 3, we are reminded of God sanctifying that seventh day. Let's think about these three verses and this major doctrine of the Bible, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, under these three terms. So the context in which God rested on the Sabbath day is in the days of creation. This is before the fall of sin. It's after the creation of man, of course. And so when we think about the Sabbath day, one of the first thoughts that should come into our mind is the completion of creation. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." There will not be anything added to nor detracted from the creation that God has made. It is not only finished, it is complete. It is the final way in which God is going to reveal himself as the sovereign God and the God of providence through creation. He's not going to add anything to it because he doesn't need to add anything to it. You and I can study creation now until the day we die, and friends, literally, we will not scratch the surface on the magnitude of God's glory that is revealed through creation. Now, you and I could think about it again for 70 years, for 80 years, if we wanted to and if we need to, but that is not even going to come close to maxing out the knowledge and the image bearing that creation has that reminds us of the greatness of God. It is complete. It did not start with a little bit of matter and evolved into this great creation that we have now, and it is not further evolving. It was spoken into existence in six literal days by the God who has made us and made this world. It is complete, and it is doing its job very well to remind all of creation, Christians and non-Christians. Number one, there is a God. Number two, He has revealed Himself. And the revelation that we know about God is He is wise, He is powerful, He is infinite, He is eternal, He is just, He is all these things because of creation. Now that little bug I talked about last week, that little creature I talked about last week that I could not identify, Ron has identified for me this past week. It's a caterpillar of the caterpillar family. And it's also a toxic caterpillar. So it's a good thing Sarah and I didn't touch that little caterpillar and try to pet it and take it home to be a good creature of our own. But it wouldn't have killed us, but it would have caused some kind of little reaction, he said. Turns into a moth, of course. So that one little aspect of creation was enough to keep me busy for a week trying to find out what's the name of that creation and all the intricacies of it. And that's the way creation works. It's designed to work like that. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. They sing day and night. Look what God has made. And look how wise and how powerful He is and how majestic He is." And if you and I know that that great God of creation now has become our Father, that should bring great comfort to us when we are, like David was going through in Psalm 7, a time of vexing of his soul and of his body. So if we're staggered at God the Creator, how much more then are we drawn to love Him as God our Father? Creation is complete. It is finished, and it is resting in the hands of the God who made it and holds it together. Amen? So when we think about creation, let's think about it being a finished, complete work of God that shows all of His wonderful majesties. But then in verse 2, we move to this second point, and that is this, and that is God rested on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He has made. Now, don't make the mistake of some simple-minded people that have made when they read this verse, and they say, well, God must have been tired if He had to rest on the Sabbath day. Now, if you suggest that God gets tired, then you're suggesting that God is not God. Because God doesn't get weak. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't need sleep. God doesn't need a vacation. God doesn't need any R&R. Because He is infinite and He's eternal. He's unchangeable. He cannot change. And so when you and I entertain silly notions like that, well, God rested because He was tired and He needed some shut-eye, then we're not thinking about the great God of the Bible that is revealed through us in Holy Scripture. Now, you and I rest when we get tired, don't we? Of course we do. That's one of the things that we do. And we need a little recuperation. We need to be revived a little bit from time to time, a little relaxation and rejuvenation. That's good for us, but that's because we're creatures. We are not the Creator, but we are creatures. And so what does it signify in then when the Bible says God rested on the seventh day? Well, He has used the first 6 days in order to display His majesty through creation. He spoke it into existence out of nothing. And on the seventh day then, He rested. And the word rest means to cease. It comes from that word Shabbat, which is the Hebrew word where we get our word Sabbath. And it simply means to cease. It means to come to completion. The word Sabbath or the Sabbath day, the seventh day also, has come to understand perfection. I don't do much with biblical numbers, but I do know there is significance for some numbers. And one of the numbers in the Bible that stands out to me is the number seven. And that stands for perfection or for completion or for cessation. And so here, one out of the 7 days that God has made was the day in which God said, I will now rest, signifying that the work of creation has been completed. What I intended to do, what I intended to show all of the universe through these 6 days of creation has come to an end, and now there is one day where we celebrate the cessation of that work and we fix our mind upon that completed work, the work of creation. Look at what God has made and think purposefully on how great God is. And it won't take you long to do that, because you and I are amazed. We're simply amazed at every little aspect of creation. You could study the big toe on your right foot from now until the day you die and never understand the complexities of it and never understand the reason why God gave us one big toe and not 5 big toes on our foot and how it serves a purpose in our body, a significant purpose. Well, if you can spend that much time on a big toe, just think how much time you could spend of all the other majestic things of creation that God has made. But one thing it reminds us of is this. God set that rest day aside, not because He was tired, but because He wanted one day in which He would be honored as, He would be recognized as the God of creation. Now hang on to that for a moment, because we're going to add a little bit to that when we get to verse 3. Because we're going to talk about not only is the rest day that is spoken of in verse 2 given to us so that we can think of God as the great creator, but we're going to make the leap that the Bible makes and show you how that the rest day today, the holy day today, is to celebrate another thing which God has completed aside from creation, and that is salvation. So let's get to that third day now, because here is where we make that leap. And on the third day, rather on the seventh day in verse 3 from Genesis chapter 2, we're going to see God do something that He didn't do to the other days. Now all 7 days God made, but this particular day, verse 3 says, He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That is, God looked at this day and said, this one is different from the 6 days. It's different by design and it's different by purpose as well. Because on the other 6 days, God made things. God brought them to life. And God gave them sustenance so that they can continue. But on this day, God makes nothing. It's complete. But on this day, He says, this day will be blessed. This day will be sanctified. It will be set apart. It will become a holy day, which is where we get our words, sanctification. It's going to be a day that is other than the other days. And one of the best definitions of the word, what does the word holy mean, is the word other. If God is holy, 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 as Isaiah records for us in the 6th chapter, where the angels were circling the throne and crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of the host. So if God is thrice times holy, may be signifying the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but most definitely signifying the importance of us recognizing that God is other. He is set apart. He is not like us in so many degrees. He is way up there. We are way down here. And there's a great gulf that divides us between the two, just like Isaiah found out in that vision in Isaiah 6 as well. But He set this day apart. It is to be viewed, it is to be treated differently than the other days. Now, we're not told that in verse 3. We're not told the specifics of what we are to do on the seventh day. We get to that later on. But it is a blessed and sanctified day. It is set apart because on that day we are to be reminded that God has completed something. He has rested from all His work which God created and which God made. So, with those three things said about the seventh day, let me add on to them just a couple of things. I need you to go with me to Exodus chapter 20 in order to get a comment on what God has done here in Genesis chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments, one of two places in which they are listed. And in verses 8 through 11, we see that the fourth commandment relates to this seventh day that God made. And notice how this commandment begins. Remember the Sabbath day. This is not a new commandment. This is a commandment that was given in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 3. That we are, this day is to be sanctified. This day is to be blessed and set apart. This is the only commandment that is not new in the list of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Verse 8. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So a little more completion of the Sabbath day that we see back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 now. This day is to be observed by those who are the creatures, just like the creature, the Creator itself rather, observed that day. He ceased from His labor. And in verse 9, we now are to cease from our labor on that particular day. And what's the purpose of ceasing from our labor? What's the purpose of setting one day apart? It is this. We want to make sure that we give God glory and honor and praise as we rightfully should. And we're not so busy with life that we don't have time to do that. The Lord knows how unruly we are. The Lord knows how, if we're not given specific instructions and commandments, we will just run off. That God gave a specific commandment on this particular day to cease from your labor, verse 9. And then on verse 10, make sure, and verse 11, that it is a day in which it is set aside. It's a holy day. Now he goes on to make exceptions for work later on after verse 20 of Exodus chapter of Exodus. He talks about works of necessity. For example, if your oxen get stuck in the mud on the Sabbath day, then you can go out and free that oxen from the mud. So we see that as works of necessity. If there is a work of necessity that needs to be done on the Lord's day, God doesn't look frowning upon that. He realizes there are things that have to be done on the Lord's day, and they need to be done by those who are in those employment. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about those who rather choose to use the Lord's day as a day of enjoyment, as a day of employment, or as a day of leisure, rather than making it what it's intended to be, a day to remind us that God's work in creation is complete, yes, but more importantly, this day is given to us so that we might be reminded that God's work of salvation is complete. And we need that reminder every day, but especially every 7 days. And so based on this particular teaching from verses 1 through 3, let me make some applications then. I got three of them to close our sermon out this morning. There's a lot more that could be said about the Sabbath day, no doubt about that, but I think these will cover them adequately. Number one, the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day as we call it, is a day for God's creatures to rest in God. This day reminds us that creation is a complete work, and it is governed and superintended not by luck, not by fate, not by destiny, but by the same sovereign God that made it. And friends, we have to work at that. We really have to tell ourselves every single day, but especially as we come to worship the Lord on Sunday, that God not only has made this world, but He is a sovereign, providential God who superintends and governs this world. And that gives us great comfort of knowing that the God who made us and this world cannot be, His plan cannot be sabotaged by man or by anything else for that matter, because He is too powerful, too wise, too all-knowing and all-present to be tricked or to have His work manipulated. This is a great day for us to do that. And so one of the things we're reminded of every time that we gather together for worship is to be reminded of the great Creator and His finished work. Number two, just as God used the seventh day to remind us to rest, that is to put our confidence in God as the great Creator and Sovereign Lord, He also commands us to rest on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday for us now, to put our confidence in the God of salvation. Just as God completed His work of creation in 6 days, He created His work of salvation in 30 plus years through the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrificial death of His beloved Son on Calvary's tree. And when He cried, "It is finished," He could have said, "It is Sabbath. It is complete. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. Your salvation is complete in Christ." Creation is complete. Trust in God. Salvation is complete. Trust in Jesus, God's Son. And so the Christian Sabbath, the day of rest, has become Sunday because of tradition, what the early church did. They felt like that since it was on the first day of the week, and by the way, Sunday's not the last day of the week, Sunday's the first day of the week. It is not part of the weekend, it's the first day of the week. And so you start your week worshiping the Lord. You don't end your week worshiping the Lord. So the first day of the week was when Christ was raised from the dead, and the first day of the week became the Sabbath or the Lord's Day of the early church. And we continue in that tradition today. Now there's one little group of weirdos who still worship on Saturday, and they call that the Sabbath day, and they tell us that we're going to hell if we worship on Sunday because you're supposed to worship on Saturday, but they're a little wacky. We don't take them very serious at all. But the day of worship for us is Sunday. So based on those two applications, the Sabbath reminds us creation is complete. The Sabbath reminds us salvation is complete. Here's what you should do, and here's what you should teach your children and your grandchildren to do as well. You should teach them to worship the Lord throughout the week. Every single day should include some time of worship of the Lord. We talked about this in our Bible study time a while ago, that what we do here on Sunday should be the natural outflow of what we're doing Monday through Saturday. We should be reading our Bible. We should be praying. We should be having conversations about the Lord throughout the week, so that when we come to Sunday to do those things, it's not something that's foreign to us. It's not something that we have to force ourselves to do. But you should teach your children to worship the Lord during the week. But you should also teach your children and your grandchildren that Sunday is the Lord's day. All the days belong to the Lord, but especially Sunday. And so you should bring your children to church on Sunday. That should be a practice. It should become a habit. And there's nothing wrong with good habits and good practices. They should be brought up under your tutelage, being taught that there's something different about Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. Go to church on the Lord's day. Now, this shouldn't just be taught to Christian parents, because the command to keep the Sabbath day holy was given before the fall. It was given before the curse. It was a reminder in the Ten Commandments. It wasn't a new commandment. It was a reminder that going to church is a universal command to everyone, lost and saved alike. And one of the sins that lost people will spend in hell tormenting over is the fact that they did not go to church. That's right. When the list is read of the sins that lost folks have committed against the sovereign Lord, one of those will be, you did not go to church on Sunday. That command is universal, lost and saved alike. So it's not just for Christians, although it's especially for Christians, no doubt about that. But God will hold lost people accountable for going to Wren Lake and fishing all day instead of going to church on Sunday morning. They don't think anything about it. We drive by Wren Lake every time we come to church, except this time we were camping at the state fair. But every time we drive by, there's somebody fishing on Wren Lake every Sunday morning. They should be in church. They should be worshiping the God who made that lake and who made that fish that they're catching. This is a day that you and I should set aside. And the least we can do is make sure that we faithfully, habitually attend church as a way, one way, of honoring God on this day. Now, folks say, I don't have to go to church in order to make it to heaven. And we say, you're exactly right. But if you go to hell, that'll be one thing you'll be punished for not going to church. You're breaking God's commandment. And that's what sin is. Sin is the breaking of His commandment and the failure to live up to His commands. So God commands us to set this day aside and worship Him. And one of the best places to do that is in a church. But that's not all that we do on Sunday. I mean, on Sundays you should read your Bible just like you read them Monday through Saturday. You should pray. Maybe Sunday should be your day of fast if you practice fasting. You should, of course, attend church services and fellowship. You should treat it as a holy day instead of a holiday. And the only difference between the two words holy day and the one word holiday is you take the Y out of holy and you put I in it. And so it's a day about I instead of about God. So let's do our best, brothers and sisters, to uphold this teaching of this day that we're gathered to right now. This is a unique day. This is a day that we need to keep sanctified and set aside, because you have seen how this has diminished over the years, have you not? I mean, a few of us remember when there were stores that were closed on Sunday because they felt like they shouldn't be open for business because that's the Lord's Day. There's a couple of businesses doing that today. Hobby Lobby is one, and Chick-fil-A is the other. That's right. And those two decisions were made based on trying to honor the Lord's Day. Now, they're about the only thing that is not open on Sunday now. So the treatment of the Lord's Day has diminished in our generation, at least my generation anyway. And that's not something to be proud of. That's something we need to work on to make better. And so let's remember that this holy day was set aside to remind us that God's work is complete, not only in creation, but also in salvation. And because of that, we should rest in Him. So let's ask the Lord to give us grace and give us strength and wisdom to hold up this commandment and honor Him by doing so as best we can. Now, Father, we thank You and we praise You for reminding us that You are not only the God of creation who completed Your work in 6 days, and on the seventh day You rested, You ceased from Your labors in order to remind us this work is complete. But You've also done another great work, and that is salvation. And You've used that one day of rest now to remind us that Your work of salvation through Your Son and through Your Holy Spirit is complete also. And we're thankful that we have a building where we can come together every Sunday to gather together as Christians to worship You, to be reminded of all the great things You've done for us. And we pray that more people would join us as we gather together to worship You as our great God. But in this time, we want to just heap upon You sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. And one of the ways we can do that is by honoring Your day, by faithfully and habitually coming to church, participate in this service in order to honor You as our great God. And we pray that the lost folks who are in here this morning, they have not been saved from their sins yet, we pray that You would use this sermon to make an indelible stamp upon their heart and their soul and their mind that they need to be in church every Sunday. And we pray that You would use that as a reminder to them to go to church. And as they attend church, use the preaching, use the prayers, use the testimonies of folks who gather together to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, save them from their sins. Is our prayer. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.